Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Gabriel India Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manoj Kolhatkar, Managing Director of Gabriel India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon and warm welcome to the Q3 FY23 earnings call of Gabriel India. Firstly, before I start, let me wish you all a very, very happy and prosperous new year. Of course, this is the first interaction that we are having in this new calendar year. I hope this, you know, this goes well and we all are safe and hopefully we have the pandemic behind us. The call may contain forward-looking statements, of course, was already mentioned. Along with me, I'm joined by Rishi Luharuka, who's our CFO, and strategic and our investor relations advisors, SGA. We have uploaded our results and the presentation for the quarter, as always, on the stock exchange company website. Hope all of you had time to go through the presentation. What I'll do is, of course, before I take you through the presentation, quickly, I'll just give a brief overview of the company's, you know, operations and take you along the slides of the presentation. To begin with, if you refer slide number five on the investor presentation, we had a reasonably good quarter. I mean, of course, yes, could have been better in terms of volumes. We had seen, you know, many of the companies going in for annual shutdowns this year. That's why there was a little muted sale. Our expectation was a little higher. Anyway, the quarter revenue, if you see year-on-year, increased by 17% to 711 crores. With, you know, I would say EBITDA margins, which are fairly stable at 7.2%, mainly due to the commodity price stabilization and the increased volumes. We are, you know, able to keep pace with the industry in terms of the increased volumes. You know, going forward, the last quarter also, we hope to see a good quarter in terms of volumes. We'll discuss more about that later. The recent budget, of course, while I'm on the slide, I'll also take reference on the budget because it was announced just a couple of days back. I think it was a quite a forward-looking budget, and the focus remains on green growth, and the focus remains on CapEx, which of course is very good for the industry. There is also, I mean, the government has also mentioned about states receiving assistance in replacing old vehicles and ambulances. At least the scrapping has, you know, somewhere would begin now. The personal income tax rebate has also been increased, which will provide some more disposable income to salaried citizens, and which of course is now augurs well for the automobile industry. Coming to the overall business dynamics, domestic automotive industry experienced a healthy revival in FY23, aided by economic activity recovery and increased mobility. The passenger vehicle, if you see the calendar year, the passenger vehicle growth, I mean, increased by 22%, commercial vehicle growth by 30+%, and two-wheelers have grown marginally. This is on the calendar year, while we are a fiscal year company, but we also keep track of the calendar year figures. Overall, it's been a very, very good growth year across the segments. The EV industry, of course, takes the cake, particularly in two-wheelers and three-wheelers, I mean, which I'll again, we'll discuss more when we have the questions. The rise in living standards has increased the demand for premiumization. This is very clearly seen. More than, you know, 40% of the sale of cars is actually in the segment which is about 10 lakh rupees. You know, clearly there has been a shift from entry-level cars to higher priced cars and also SUVs. SUVs now form over 50% of, you know, the total passenger car sales, which again is, you know, of course, good news for the auto component industry and auto industry in According to SIAM data, I did share about the passenger cars, but within that, like I mentioned in if you want in figures, utility vehicles grew by 28% and passenger cars grew by 18%. So which is what I said, there has been a higher growth in the SUV, the UV segment. In terms of commercial vehicles, the sales, the numbers increased by 12% in Q3 FY23 compared to the same one last year. In Q3 FY23, sale of M&HCVs increased by 23%, while sales of LCVs increased by 6% year on year. It demonstrated continued sales recovery as a result of increased e-commerce, agriculture, infrastructure, and mining activity, and improved overall fleet owner sentiments. And of course, new model launches and overall better market. This sector has been kept afloat by the government's ongoing infrastructure development push, as well as rising demand for LCV, HCV buses, and construction equipment. Despite the fact that the sentiment in two-wheeler industry, this is of course the segment that has been continuously under a severe challenge. So the sentiment in two-wheeler industry did improve during the festive season during the Diwali time in 2022. But it is still underperforming due to the impact, combined effect of high inflation on the higher price of a two-wheeler owing to, BS6 and, ABS, etc. And, of course, the increased cost of fuel. According to SIAM data, two-wheeler sales increased by 1% year-on-year, while three-wheeler sales increased by 13%. Now, three-wheeler sales mainly is because all the schools have opened, transport has started as normal, so people are not shying away from using, a shared transport. That's why we are seeing a good recovery in three-wheelers, which was actually a pent-up demand. Scooters increased by 20%, motorcycles decreased by 5%, and mopeds also decreased by 12% in Q3 FY23. However, due to a good monsoon, the industry's positive momentum is expected to continue in the near future. The bus and three-wheeler segments continue to recover strongly. The three-wheeler segment, particularly as I said, has grown 42% year-on-year. And within that, e-rickshaws or the electric rickshaws or the EV three-wheelers, as we call, are expanding rapidly. Given the demand for affordable transportation and the emphasis on reducing carbon emissions, electric vehicles will play an important role in India's transition to a more sustainable future, as evidenced by, particularly two-wheeler and three-wheeler segments in electric vehicles. There has been a significant increase in prospects over the last 18 months, of course, supported by the FAME II policy, the extended FAME II policy, increased awareness, and increased product launches. We are seeing e-two-wheeler and e-three-wheeler sales increasing across India, including in Tier 3 and Tier 4 cities. The majority of automotive segments such as passenger cars, CV, tractors have maintained healthy demand sentiments, but two-wheeler continues to be underperforming, largely as an effect of high inflation in rural areas. Now, let's go to the numbers again. I'll again refer back to, go back to the presentation that we shared. I did already share on the slide number one. So if you come to slide number six, I already shared. Slide number six, which is the financial highlights of Q3 FY23. Revenue of 711, as I already mentioned. EBITDA of 51 crore, which is 7.2%. PBT of 5.5%. Net cash position of 217 crores. Cash flow from operations reduced by 4.2. This is mainly on the back of working capital requirements. And CapEx incurred during the period was about 23 crores. Coming to slide 7, which is for 9 months, we have of course had a record sales so far in 9 months, which is 2,235 crores almost, with an EBITDA of again 7.2%, which I said is kind of stabilized as of now. 161 crore of EBITDA for these 9 months. Cash flow from operations to the tune of 21 crores as compared to a higher inflow in FY22. CapEx incurred is being almost 70 crores. Coming to slide 8, which is again the financial track record. So you can see from the past quarters that, you know, the gross margin has actually improved because we have had a little lesser raw material percentage. So the gross margin is now at 24.4% compared to Q3 in the same year last year, same time last year, 23.2. Even if you see Q2, which is the preceding quarter, it was at 23%. EBITDA is, however, slightly lesser at 7.2%, because Q2, of course, had a much higher sale, almost 90 crores higher sales than Q3. And ROIC, if you see in the table below, for the 9 months, it is at 28.8%, which is, of course, the highest in the past couple of years. Coming to slide number 9, which is quarterly performance trend, the same figures which I did share with you is shown in a graphical format. Slide 10 is, again, the P&L statement more in detail. So, we'll, of course, I'm sure you will have your observations on this, and we will discuss on the same post my address. Slide 11 is the financial track record. So as you can see, the growth, you know, which we did 2,332 crores in the full year last year, we are already almost close to that in 9 months. So obviously this is going to be a record sales year. And the EBITDA, PAT, ROC and working capital days are shown in the slide 11. Key ratios on slide 12, which again I'll skip that as well. Coming to the revenue mix, which is on slide 13. You can see that, you know, in channel mix, 13%, the aftermarket has grown slightly to 13%. In terms of segment mix, two-wheelers has come down from 66 to 61, and passenger car has increased, and so also has, you know, commercial vehicle and railways, even they have increased. So there has been, as I said, a lesser growth in two-wheelers, that's why you see this effect, and also better business, better share of business in terms of customers in passenger car, which has led to the increase of the passenger car pie. Coming to individual segments, so this is on slide number 14, is on two and three wheelers. This includes, of course, aftermarket sale. This is about 64% of our total sale. Our market share in two wheelers is 32%. It continues to increase literally quarter on quarter. Our top customers remain the same, TVS, Yamaha and Bajaj Auto. But if you go to the next slide, which is slide 15, which we have shared even last couple of calls, is that, you know, our penetration in EV, which now EV sales, you know, forms almost 9% of our total sales, which just 1 year back it was about 3%. So good growth on the back of, you know, almost a 300% growth in the EV two-wheeler and three-wheeler volumes in the industry. Our market share now here is over 60%, and we are, if you can see the right bottom box, we are there in all the top models, let's say Ola, Ather, TVS, Ampere, and of course Okinawa. Yes, that is currently low, but we supply to them as well. Slide 16 shows you some new business that we have just started. We dispatched the first production lot to them. This is e-bicycle, which is getting very, very popular, particularly in Europe. So this is for exports only. This is being given. Given to Hero Cycles, who will eventually do the e-bicycle, as they call, for European market. We have started this, and let's see how it goes. This is a good technology and interesting product for us to chase. And as we see the trend, particularly in Europe, going this way, if anyone of you have visited Europe, you'll see, particularly in the, you know, Scandinavian countries, in fact, most of the people are using the e-bicycle or just the plain bicycle format. So this is something that we are keenly watching. But we have made our first small step. Coming to slide number 17, which is the passenger vehicles, again, the market share has gone to 23%. Here, the good part is, again, on slide 18, if you see, as I mentioned, the growing segment in this within the PC is the UV segment, which has grown at 50% in the industry. So, Gabriel presence in this segment is becoming stronger. Now we have in this segment, we actually have 33% of the market share in terms of, the utility vehicles compared to our 23% for the overall passenger car. So we are, our strength position is getting strengthened in the growing segment within the passenger cars. So that is good news. The pictures of the key models that we are supplying today, all are on single source basis. You can very clearly see here. I mean, these are, as you know, I mean, absolutely blockbuster models, each one of them. Jimny is yet to be launched, but this will be launched very, very soon. The bookings are already open and response has been good. Slide number 19 shares about the commercial vehicle where, yeah, we continue the dominant position. This continues, and we have internally decided to, in fact, leverage our dominant position here to pursue growth overseas, which is, of course, started through DAF, and we are trying to expand it further into other customers as well. Slide number 20 is on railways. So I'm very happy to share that we now are there on every train. LHB was already done. Now we have the Vande Bharat Express. We are the only supplier qualified for this, Indian supplier. We were not supplying to the electric locomotive. Even that development order has been supplied for both these, Vande Bharat as well as the electric locomotive. So we are present in every aspect of Indian Railways, be it locomotives, be it, the passenger car trains. So, yes, the volumes are still down, but there has been a good growth compared to last year in this segment as well. Aftermarket, we continue to post good growth. This growth has been, last year, we have grown almost 25%, at the rate of 25%. So this continues through new products, plus continuous new product development to address each and every vehicle park model. So this has been, of course, our strength, and we'll continue to focus on the aftermarket as well. Coming to exports, despite the loss of Volkswagen Russia, we all know the reason why. Despite the loss of that, we did 29 crores in this quarter. So that is indeed, I must say, quite a good recovery. This is mainly on the back of good orders from, growing orders from DAF of Netherlands. So that has been, I think, a good story. So we'll just, again, this year we'll definitely cross the three-figure mark of 100 crores for the second year in a row. Slide 23 is the balance sheet, which, of course, Rishi will explain once we come to the individual question and answers. And same for cash flows. The rest of the pack is, the general overview, which we all are familiar with. So this is what we had to share on our specific overall industry as well as our specific company level initiatives. So I'll now come to the question and answer session and try to answer and note each of your suggestions as well as queries. So over to you, Jigar.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Viraj from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, yeah, Viraj.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers and for the challenging environment. Just got two, three broader questions. First is, if I look at our overall business mix, for the quarter as well, you've got an increase in share of CV, and aftermarket is also quite handy, and same as the case for exports. So we have done somewhere around, say, 24.2, 24.3 kind of a gross margin. While it has improved sequentially, given the kind of mix, and the margin structure these businesses operated, one would think that maybe the margin would be even higher than what we reported. So is it that there's still some price under recovery which is yet to be laid out, and we should see that coming in Q4 and onwards? So that is one.
Yes, Viraj, so there is, I mean, all the commercial settlements have not happened. So, you know, while one is the commodity settlements are back to back, so what happens typically is, you know, when we have this down cycle, the OEs are also more in the mood to discuss about also adjusting some overall inflation. So that's why some of the settlements are yet to happen. So yes, you might see some of the spillover effect.
Okay. Second question is largely on the working capital. You know, we supply to a sizable number of EV players, and many of them are startups, and, you know, some of them we are a sole supplier. So the kind of what we have been hearing is that many of these suppliers, they have somewhere between 6 months to 1 year kind of a subsidy outstanding from the government. So for us also, do we see any possibility of write-offs or any extended subsidy receivables risk from those customers?
So Viraj, this is Rishi here. So it's an important question given the current things which are happening. Fortunately for us, we don't have any overdues from any of the EV players other than one. And that also is a very small amount, and we are in constant touch, and we are 100% certain of recovering that value.
Okay. Okay. And last question is largely, you know, the parent announcement, you know, so they have talked about a pretty big initiative in terms of the EV strategy. So just trying to, you know, get some perspective in terms of where do we fit in and.
Viraj, we missed the first part of what was it?
So, you know, the parent, they announced a new EV initiative, and, you know, aspiration from the EV exposure over the next 5 to 7 years. So in terms of Gabriel in India, you know, do we see any play other than suspension or ride control products?
Okay. You're looking at if Gabriel is going to enter any other products in EV. Is that your question?
Yeah, with regard to the recent announcement by the parent of.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I was wondering. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's the AnEvolve that we have announced. So we have announced, you know, three different JVs in that. So yeah, I mean, we Gabriel as such, we are not, you know, looking at any more products we added in the EV space particularly, because all our EV or clean mobility platform will be under that AnEvolve. That's what is the announcement very clearly. But however, we are scanning. I mean, as I said, I did not mention on that on inorganic opportunities. We are actively in advanced discussions on, you know, a couple of projects, which obviously we cannot, you know, share until we have more. I mean, we have made more headway and we are firm on it. So, but otherwise, on EV products as such, you know, pure EV, I mean, like motor, controller, battery, charger, etc., that will be under the domain of AnEvolve.
Okay. So when you say inorganic opportunity, that is primarily related to the suspension and ride control products.
Yes, yes. And we like I mentioned, we are also looking at, you know, maybe expanding our portfolio as well.
Okay, fine. I'll come back in here. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one. Our next question comes from the line of Pallavi Deshpande from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. You have mentioned about the EV spikes. If you could give some color in 3Q, what was the, you mentioned about the total EV growth, but sorry, the total two-wheeler growth. So similarly, if you could give us some numbers on the total EV volumes for 3Q. And your market share, you mentioned, was above 60%. So any guidance on, you know, where you see the market share going ahead? I believe it was 66 in 2Q.
Yeah, Pallavi, you could not get, but you can correct me if I'm not answering, but your question particularly. But, you know, on if your question was about EV market share for Gabriel in suspension, we are at 60%+ as of now. Going forward, in fact, we have got two more new orders. You know, the Ultraviolette, where TVS has a stake, the motorcycle, very, very good looking motorcycle. that was launched. We have gained entry in that. We have added a couple of other more new EV players. So our endeavor would be to continue to hold on to this leadership position. Yes, however, having said that, obviously, you know, a leadership position is never easy, especially in a high growth and highly attractive market, market segment. But yes, I mean, so far it's been a good story. And we will continue to, you know, reinforce our engagements. Also, just to share, our relationships with all the EV where we are supplying has been, in fact, very good. So I don't see any big concern on this market share holding on in terms of two-wheelers and three-wheelers. In passenger car, yes, the leader is Tata Motors. The volumes are still small, I mean, not so big, but still, I must say, not bad at all. They'll be doing almost 40,000+. So while we are not on Tata Motors, we have entered Tata Motors through the Tiago segment, and we have also, which is shared in the presentation pack also, we have also got entry into Tata Motors, a new SUV platform, which, as we learn, is also going to have a EV in its fold. In addition, the newly, you must have read on the Peugeot Citroën EC3, that's the electric vehicle, you know, Gabriel is 100%.
Right. And what would have been the growth in this the two-wheeler EVs for 3Q, the year-on-year growth? I understand the entire sector grew 1%, so just the EV portion.
EV portion?
For the industry.
For the industry?
Yeah, and two-wheeler EVs.
So EV, two-wheeler going to grow overall as an industry?
Yeah, for the industry, how much did it grow in 3Q? So.
Oh, it's, I mean, in 3Q it's been, you know, we are doing, if you see two-wheelers, it's been doing almost 70,000+ per month, which was, you know, which was hardly 30,000. So it's, the growth has been, I mean, let's say in April, May, June, in that month, it was about 40, 45,000. That is 70, 75,000. So the growth has been very, very significant in two-wheelers.
So FY22, you grow 85%, that's right.
FY?
FY22 over 21.
Yeah.
Right. And so right now, the 70K will be maintained, right? I mean, like you said, new customers will be added for 70K on the EV side.
Yes, yes, yes. They'll be added on top of this.
Right.
And fortunately for us, if you see the market dynamics also, Ola has gained the top position where we are 100%. Ather is doing extremely well. It's number two. We are 100%. TVS is, again, amongst the legacy players, has taken a very, very good pole position in legacy players. There we are 100%. So all our customers actually are kind of fortunately doing extremely well, and we are 100% of them.
And so would it be fair to say the margins would be higher in this portfolio versus the traditional portfolio? The EBITDA margin.
Slightly, yes. Yeah.
Right, right. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from the line of Dhiral from PhillipCapital, PCT. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So what will be our, you know, outlook for the export segment in FY24 and 25 with the new business of this e-bicycle which we have received, you know, from the Hero Cycle?
Yeah, so in fact, we this year again, despite, as I said, despite the Volkswagen setback, we'll cross 100 crores. So next year, I mean, so we've added this bicycle. I mean, we don't know how it will go. It is still early days, but we see this market to be growing. I mean, I wouldn't, I would say at least we, not in next year. I'm not telling we'll do this next year, but I would say 20 to 50 crores will surely come through this e-bicycle.
And so, strip of this e-bicycle, what will be our export, you know, guidance for next 2 years, couple of years?
That's what difficult, you know, they have also just started, so I mean, the relationship has just begun. So we'll have to see. I mean, the volumes that they have shared with us are much higher. But, you know, it's very early days for me to take an estimate because it's a completely new segment. The only thing, yes, we see, terrific growth potential. I mean, the numbers in Europe, you know, this market is growing at, again, 30%+ in Europe. We'll have to see how successful is our customer there. So it's very difficult for me to, you know, take a guess right now.
Okay. And so Maruti, you know, this year they have, you know, showcased on two new SUV, Prongs as well as Jimny. So we are there in Jimny. So I believe we have not received order for, you know, the Prongs platform.
Yeah, that's right. We are there on Jimny. All right.
Okay. So what about Prongs, sir? Who will be supplying to Prongs?
Prongs is more a Baleno platform. So it'll be the competition.
Okay. And sir, lastly, sir, on the, electric passenger vehicle side, sir, what will be our market share or what is our market share currently, sir?
Come again, can you repeat that?
So on the electric passenger vehicle side,
yes.
What is the market share, sir, right now?
Right now it's only low. You know, we are there only on the AUV 100, which hardly sells a few, in them. And Tata Motors Nexon EV is almost 8% market share. There we are not there as of now. There are discussions going on, but we are not there as of now. So in EV PC, it is a very, very marginal market share today. But EC3, the new PSA offering, which is going to get launched probably this week, there we are there 100%.
This is from the Tata Motors side, sir?
No, this is Peugeot Citroen.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Raj from Arjava Partners. Please go ahead.
Looking at the overall outlook you have given, looking at the cash you have, so 4 to 5 years from now, how do you see the company going on? Like, you know, sales figure and everything. What do you aspire to be?
I think that we have articulated through our vision. It's very clear that, you know, being in the top five. So while we are not given a figure in terms of the top line, you can make good estimate based on that vision.
All right. And looking at your existing installed capacity and everything, how much of the peak sales which you can do out of these facilities?
Okay, so the peak sales, I had mentioned this some time back also, I think close to 2 years back, that we with the current plant installed capacity that we have, we can, you know, definitely reach up to this year's volume, which we had told 2,800 to 3,000 crores. So we are right now. So now we have land bank. Have land bank. So we'll be expanding some facilities in Chakan. We'll also be expanding a little bit in Sanand. Probably in Deva.
It will be kind of an aggressive expansion to an extent, right?
Yes, expansion. We may also go into purchasing some land. It's mainly, you know, of course, to add to the land bank going forward.
Okay, that's fine. And after you expand and about the sales and the everything, how much would be the margins and all? Or will it be accretive to the existing levels?
Our target remains, as I mentioned, to reach, EBITDA double digit. Mm-hmm. That remains a target in our new business acquisition also. But yes, there are market pressures which take some, because as margins are important, yes, I mean, for surely getting... Yeah. Gaining market share also is equally important.
Yeah, understood. Okay, sir. Thank you. Have a good day. Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1. Our next question comes from the line of Viraj from Securities Investment Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. Just a few more questions. First is on the e-bike initiative. If you look at even the traditional bike segment, we've kind of shied away because the product offering was very commoditized and there were not much margin in that business. So when we look at e-bike, if you can just elaborate a bit more in terms of the thought process, how are the realization margins in this business? And globally also, if you talk about Europe, the market is already a couple of $1 billion and it's growing at a very healthy pace. So when we look at our play or aspiration in this over next coming years, what it could be for us?
Yeah. So coming to e-bike, I mean, yes, this market, of course, in the traditional bike, I mean, when I talk about bike here is bicycle. Of course, I assume it's the same thing you're referring to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in India, bicycles, I mean, of course, are the lowest, I mean, the most basic level mode of transport. But however, you are seeing now, even in India, there's a huge increase in lifestyle bicycling, sports, fitness, where people spend anything, from a minimum of 20,000-30,000 to, 3-4 lakh per bicycle. I think, I'm sure maybe you also or some of us also do own these bikes and, pursue it as a lifestyle hobby. And in elsewhere in Europe, it is even much more prevalent that you must have seen. So we see a huge potential and, of course, the price offers a better leeway in terms of, higher margins as well, for sure. So we see a very good growth possible. In fact, if you see at the total, the figures that we have got in terms of the growth rates are really extremely encouraging. I mean, I can't share those figures, but they are quite encouraging as far as Europe is concerned. So that's why we decided as a very carefully chosen product segment. So it is only these, front forks. Again, not all bicycles have front fork. There is, many bicycles have fixed front fork and many have a front fork, which we are talking about, where it will have a damping, where you can even adjust the damping. So we are only going to play in that space because, essentially, once it is that type of front fork, it is a lifestyle bike or a mountain bike where customer is willing to pay. I mean, I'm talking about the end customer is willing to pay a very good price to the bicycle maker.
So, in that sense, what would be the addressable market for us, and who will be the other major players catering to this?
I mean, these players, I mean, nobody is in India, of course. I mean, mainly there are a couple of players who dominate this market, a company based in Taiwan called Lesser Suntour, and there are a couple of, one is based in US, which mainly in these market. So there is definite potential for, a good player in India to emerge in this space.
Okay, and second is, what you said earlier, the comment you made on acquisition that, we are pretty close in terms of closing it. So that is largely, the acquisition which we are looking at, from a technology gap perspective, or is it more towards the market access or region diversification kind of thing?
Yeah, in fact, the mandates that we have also internally discussed and decided upon is actually addressing, yes, one is technology, second is, new growth, new markets, new geographies. So in fact, even let's say a strong brand. So these are some of the key, boundary conditions that, we have kind of defined for our acquisition. So that's what our pursuit remains in that space only.
Okay, and is there any minimum, maximum ticket size which will be okay to go there in terms of size or scale?
Obviously, yes, we are not wanting to, bite something that we can't chew, but, as long as it's a very, good brand with very, very good technology and a solid customer base. If it is that, we are open to, looking at even a bigger size, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from the line of Pallavi Deshpande from Samishka Capital. Please go ahead.
Right. So just on the cost side, if you could share any initiatives being taken and get us a better understanding on the margin front, if you can see any improvement there. And secondly, what percentage of the aluminium castings would be outsourced?
So, Pallavi, I'll take the first one. So, in terms of the RMC percentage, yes, it's the largest sort of number in the P&L. And there is a systematic approach towards looking at that. We start, for example, the year with the workshop where we look at the top parts which contribute to our sales, and then we break it down to the last component, and thereafter do a proper workshop with all the plants and their people there to come up with projects which will help us reduce the consumption. The other part is to look at wastages. That's broadly under the Core 90 program that we run. That helps us to keep either it in check or even reduce it further. The third was when the commodity cycle was up and we had taken a very concerted effort to ensure that we have 100% recovery or close to 100% recovery from the OEMs. So, and to ensure that all prices or commodities which were not indexed to get settlements from customers. The last was with regards to improving the price margins on various products where settlements have not taken place in the past owing to various reasons. Now the commodity is on a downward cycle or a little bit on that side. So now the idea and the sort of approach is to ensure that things which were not settled earlier for with customers or for particular programs, we also now negotiate and don't give the whole downward movement to the customer. Again, depending upon the each and individual conversation. On the aftermarket side, we faced a bit of a sort of a higher cost because we could not increase the price in line with the commodity. So now with downward cycle, that's an opportunity, but it all depends upon the market forces. On the aluminium casting?
On aluminium casting, I mean, we have brought down our, buying that basically from China. I mean, we depend on China for, we still do buy, but now it's more of a choice. I would say the percentage in-house versus bought out for outer tubes will be, let's say 60-40.
60 would be in-house then?
Yeah.
And so China would, I mean, how much percentage?
Yeah, the rest of it was mostly China. Yeah, we have developed some sources in India as well. China is about 20%.
Right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Nihar Shah from Enam Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted a clarification just to make sure I heard this right. You mentioned EV sales as a percentage of your total revenue is now 9%?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, got it. And for the e-bicycle business, you know, I mean, that segment is more popular outside India. Any other customers that we are tapping into in Europe for this product?
Yeah, that's the idea, you know, that e-bike, while we have started with this one customer, you know, who has given us the entry and, you know, of course, supported us in the development. So we will go with this customer, and the idea is eventually to reach out to even other customers once this product matures, because it's surprisingly a quite a different technology from what we give for two-wheelers, for the regular IC engine two-wheelers. This is quite a different bicycle. Is quite a different. It's not just cut paste. It's almost entirely a different development. So we will start with this, and then let's say 1 year down the line, I'm sure we'll be able to find our own good set of customers. There is a market, and we feel there's also a need for there's space for one additional source for sure.
Sure, got it. And another question on working capital, right? I think we made a lot of efforts to kind of reduce the working capital days over the last 2 years. We kind of seem to have seen a, you know, a trend towards the mean of around 30 days. So can you talk about, you know, what's happened to working capital and where do you expect this to go going forward?
So Nia, on the working capital side, again, it's largely owing to reduction in the payable days. Debtors have remained, you know, a couple of days a little higher, again, in the 30 to 60 day bracket. But, and, you know, 2 odd days have gone up on the inventory side. So it's the payable. Why payables? Essentially because a lot of commodity settlements take a little bit of a lagging effect as far as paying the cash out because a lot of documentation involved. Also, if we compare with the previous year, there were some one-offs which have now got paid off. So payables have, in the, you know, in this particular cycle, in this quarter, we have sort of reduced as compared, and that's what the reflection on the working capital side is. As far as normalization is concerned, we would like to bring it down to, say, the 2022 odd days number, and that's what the endeavor is.
Sure, got it. And just one last question from my side. In the PV space, the FSG technology that we've come out with, just want to check, are we currently only supplying to the XUV 700 or have we got newer models for this as well?
No, it's currently only XUV 700, but we have already offered the product to at least two other OEMs.
Got it.
And
sure.
Nia, just to clarify, I think I mentioned the EV, so that you are also clear that this is almost, you know, 9% on the two-wheeler sales. So on the total, it is about 4 to 5%. Okay.
Sure. Got that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Nikhil from Securities Investment Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Good evening. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah, hi. Three questions. One is on this e-bikes. Now, we've been having previous interactions, but this looks like a new development. Do you think there are more such opportunities which we were not targeting earlier and can be tapped into now? Or do you think that these are largely opportunities which we have tapped now completely?
So Nikhil, yeah, a valid question. In fact, you know, we had targeted the e-bike. We had targeted the bicycle segment some time back. In fact, you know, we had even supplied a few samples and actually stopped the production because the product realization was just too bad. It was too low. This was, you know, for the Indian bicycle. But we nevertheless continued with our strategy in exploring this segment. And this e-bike, like I said, you know, offers a wholly different proposition when it comes to value and willingness of customer to also, you know, pay us a good remunerative price. So that's why we had started this some time back. It is coming to fruition now. We got a good anchor customer as well. There are within the suspension domain, probably just one or two more products left, which we can, you know, pursue. One is, as you know, as we call the tailgate balancers or the dicky gas lift, as it's called, you know, that's one commodity where, again, the price is a bit too low. So we were not pursuing, but as we see the price is improving now, we do that. We are the market leader in aftermarket incidentally for this product. While we do not manufacture, but we are the market leader. The brand is very strong in aftermarket for this product. So that this is one product that is available and left, but we'll have to see, you know, in terms of the economics. So it's a choice that we have or a decision that we have made not to pursue that right now.
In this the bike segment globally, if we have to understand, it would be a couple of billion dollar kind of a end market, the customer market.
Yes.
I'm trying to.
Yes.
And there, this is our first entry. in this market. So we have a defined confirmed volume share from the customer for these products, or like when you mentioned 30 to 50 crores, is it like a confirmed volume share and we would be the sole supplier initially?
Well, it's not it's not a confirmed volume share, but they have definitely shared some very good numbers based on their export offering. As I said, we see this in the range of 20 to 50 crores for sure. The market size can even much larger than that.
Yeah, so where I'm coming from is like in DAS, we started with a small segment, and then over the years, we've been pleasantly surprised with the kind of business increase we've been seeing. Should we see that a similar trajectory can be followed in this product segment also, or would you say though that because DAS is a much larger business in terms of the brands and operation, on this segment, do you see it can be provide us a, like additional 100 crore kind of eventually, not in 2 years, 3 years, anything, but can it be eventually a 100, 150 crores kind of a business segment for us?
Yes, I'm pretty hopeful.
Okay. Secondly, sir, on railways, you mentioned that we are part of most of the on the locomotive side as well as on the wagon side. So, and we know railways has a big plans in terms of the Vande Bharat and the intensity with which the whole modernization of railways is happening. How big can do you believe this opportunity can be? Because as I understand, it was majorly a two-player market between we and Escort. So one is how big, and secondly, do you see more competition coming, or has the competitive intensity remained between among the two players?
No, competitive intensity has definitely increased. There are more than four players now. That is number one. Second, whatever we speak about, while yes, there are the Indian Railways and the government is very bullish, and they are talking of very big plans. The numbers, finally, the volumes are still, very, very small. Even if they talk about, let's say they're making 3,000 coaches, they'll go to 4,000 coaches. While the percentage number may seem very high, but eventually the absolute numbers are just so low, that, it can't create a big difference to the revenue side. That's our issue. And then it's a tendering based business. So, once alternate sources are developed, we reap the benefit, let's say for LHB, when we were only one of the two Indian sources qualified. But once eventually when everybody entered, unfortunately there doesn't seem to be a good premium being offered for a quality supplier. Then you all fall into the normal tenders.
Okay. So at best, railways cannot be more than a 5% kind of a business for us.
Yes, that is also.
That would be still an optimistic
but a good
number.
But today, so what we are doing instantly is also we are now looking at, railways overseas. We had a small order where we catered to Sri Lanka Railways. So we are looking at some focus markets where the railway penetration is good in those countries, and we have in fact engaged an agency as well to pursue some orders overseas.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. one offshoot of our plans for railway growth that has come up.
Okay, last question on acquisition. Now I know we've been interacting with you for last 2-3 years, and you've mentioned that we are looking at acquisition, we are talking at the companies, looking at deals. Where are the roadblocks you are finding in terms of closing those acquisitions? One, you have said about price and valuation not matching, but where are you finding roadblocks in terms of closing the acquisitions? And secondly, you said about we would look at a brand as an acquisition target. I don't understand, because Gabriel already has a very strong brand positioning in the Indian aftermarket, and even in the global aftermarket, our aftermarket business has grown pretty well. So how does the brand fit in our scheme of things? Maybe technology or geography I would have understand, but On the brand side, if you can just help us understand, how do you see void which can be filled?
What we meant by brand is brand supported by a local footprint. And for starters, the Gabriel, we own the brand only in India. India and the subcontinent and China. So China is, Gabriel unfortunately is not known. It's a very strong brand in this space, but the rest of the Gabriel is obviously not with us. That is with individual geographies who are there. Secondly, when it comes to brand, there are, these, let's talk about even Indian market, you'll always have some very strong brands within each country. Let's say Amul, in India is absolutely, everybody knows the brand, right? Whereas overseas, nobody would know. So there might be some Amuls or some Gabriels in different geographies, which are worth pursuing. Obviously, that is one way to get the top line. The top line and the bottom line, to get the business. So that's one entry. That's where the brand comes in. If you want to play in the aftermarket space, brand is, of course, extremely important. In OE space, it may not be so important, but in aftermarket, it definitely is important. That is on the brand part. The second, on the roadblocks, well, we unfortunately had, proceeded some way, and then because of COVID, wave after wave, we had to actually hold back our pants. Even the target also had to, had to ask us for keeping the plans on hold for some time. So COVID has definitely played a spoiled sport in terms of, physically, visiting or having discussions. And unfortunately, it was wave after wave. So even due to COVID, the target, obviously the company's financials also, every company financials went through. So they wanted to consciously defer the whole discussion. The roadblock has mainly been that. I don't see any other roadblock. And being the first acquisition, obviously we are also going to be, take it very cautiously. Yeah.
And what prevents us from buying the entities who own the brand outside of the subcontinent, say in LATAM or other markets?
Of course, yes.
So, are you looking at such kind of acquisitions outside of India? Because their Gabriel brand is probably well known, and I think somewhere you've mentioned also in one of the calls that Gabriel globally as a brand command something like a $300-350 million kind of a sales in the total shock absorber market.
Yeah.
So, are you looking at, or are there any opportunities which are available for acquisition outside?
They are available outside as well. As I said, we are looking both outside as well as some opportunities within India as well.
Okay. And last question was, in the call you mentioned that some of the RM cost which we couldn't recover, and that you've always discussed that the RM inflation was not completely recovered, as a result the gross margin did take a hit. Now when the RM prices are softening or benign, we will try to take back or get some benefit, because on the upside we had a hit, we took the hit. So if we have to consider all of this, do you think our normal gross margin, so our historical gross margin was something around 28-30%, but considering the competitive dynamics and everything, do we think that we can recover back to a level of something like 25-26? We are already at 24-24.5 this quarter, but would you say that 25-26 is a gross margin where the company can operate with the mix of business and everything?
Yes. Absolutely. Like I mentioned, gross margin is one part. Our target remains, to get back to the EBITDA that we did earlier. So, I think we surely can get there.
Because if gross margin comes to 25-26, we would be inching closer to that double-digit EBITDA margin, because the major hit has been on gross margin for us.
That's right. Absolutely.
Fine. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Due to time constraint, that was the last question for the day. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Manoj Kolhatkar for closing comments.
Thank you. Thanks, for all those interesting inputs. And I mentioned with you, we are also now exploring, our journey through these new high growth areas of EV, and one more good area we identified is the e-bicycles as well, and we'll continue to pursue in this space. And of course, you're welcome to also share with us on any leads that you have. And the last quarter, which is Q4, it started sluggishly because of the shutdowns in January, but nevertheless, the demands now look quite good. The semiconductor issue of passenger cars particularly is still not out of, we're not out of it completely as an industry. It's definitely reduced. To add to it, of course, the budget was, I must say, quite a fair and long-term outlook budget of growth. So with all this, we hope that auto industry will continue to grow in the coming quarter and the coming years as well. May not be at this pace. Obviously, this was a lot of pent-up demand. All in all, definitely an interesting space for us to be in. So with that, I thank you all for your support and your enthusiasm and interest, and wish all of you continue to stay healthy and stay safe as we find our way in the new year. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Gabriel India Limited, we conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.